everybody. I'm so excited to share this episode with you today. I had the pleasure of interviewing this amazing human last week on my Instagram channel, and I'm always trying to get the episodes out within 24 hours, but you know how life gets. Busy these days. So here it is today. I got to interview Kali Fontanilla, who is the creator of the new online homeschool program called the Exodus Institute. You can find it at thinkexodus.org. And she is just an all-around hilarious, inspiring, and very thought-provoking human. She's been speaking out for a couple of years now. She's a former public school teacher and really shines a light on a lot of the disturbing agendas that are happening right now across the school systems, across the USA, just overall just shining a light on a lot of disturbing things that are happening. So without further ado, I wanted to share this interview with you. It's just about an hour long, so hang tight, grab your headphones, and enjoy. I would love to hear from you what you think, and stop on by my Instagram channel. That's at @CamilleRose_offgrid. And of course, you can find my backup account, which is just at @OffgridCamille. So I'll see you over there. Hey, hey. Good evening, everybody. Come on and join. Just getting started and settled here. All right, awesome. Okay, people are joining. This is exciting stuff. I have a pretty incredible guest coming on tonight that I'm super excited about. It's going to be a really fun interview. If you're hopping on here right now and you didn't see my story, that'll be fun. And maybe some of you saw that, so you know. But I'm pretty excited. And amazing, here she is. Okay. You know, I'm not quite sure how to add you. Maybe you can request Kali. Let's see here. Oh, there it is. Okay, let's see if that worked. We shall see. Oh my gosh, there it is. All right.
I know. Hi. I'm still learning how to use live too. I've only done it like 3 times.
I love that. I've never done that option before.
That's cool.
That was exciting stuff.
I think it invites both our audience too, which is cool.
Oh, sweet. I don't even think I realized that. Amazing.
Can you guys hear me? Maybe I should get headphones. How's my audio?
I can hear you. I can hear you good.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I can hear you totally fine.
Awesome.
Okay, I want to make sure I'm saying your name correctly. Is it Kali?
Kali like cauliflower.
Kali like cauliflower.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Awesome. Okay, and how do you say your last name?
Fontanilla.
Fontanilla. Amazing.
Yes.
Sweet. Okay, people are saying the audio is good.
Cool.
How's your day going?
I just got back from Houston. I've never been to Houston before, and I was not expecting it to be so unsafe. I hear great things about Texas, and I've been to Dallas, and so I do a lot of traveling by myself, and this was probably the first time I genuinely felt unsafe walking downtown by myself.
I had
to like talk to my husband while I was walking because there was like guys like following and like kind of like hitting on me and like not leaving me alone even though I was ignoring them. So yeah. it was sad. And then I went and then I did a video. I just posted it about, I went into the CVS and I would say half the stuff was locked up. Half the stuff, even like the eyelashes all had like the fake eyelashes all had locks. just
eyelashes.
Yeah, just eyelashes. The fake nails had locks. And I was just, and it just, it just breaks my heart that there are these places where it just feels so different than what this country should be. And I've been talking to a lot of the people online about it, you know, my friends online, and a lot of them are from that area. And it's definitely, it used to be fun in the 80s, it used to be fun in the 90s, and now it's just hell. Like, it didn't feel very comfortable there. And I think that we have that story with cities across America right now. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, I remember when Seattle was great. I remember when Portland was great. And it's like, guys, are we just going to let it? It's not like things stay stagnant. It's either going to get worse or get better. And right now, we're just letting it get worse. And I'm so tired of it.
Yep. Definitely. Wow. Well, I just found your account maybe a month and a half or so ago. And first of all, you're hilarious. And I love the satire account and characters. I just like, it's just so refreshing. And we just like need more of that right now.
It's an outlet for me too. So yeah, I have a satire account where I make fun of a bunch of different like leftist characters. And I don't do it as much because I actually got banned on TikTok twice.
Oh no.
So I built a whole following.
From doing that account?
It was, that's where I actually did all the videos originally, the satire characters. And I built this following, and it's really hard to build it again, especially with the satire characters, because people think it's real and they'll be like mad.
Right.
And so I have to like train my, that's why I have it separate from my main account, because I've had people unfollow me when I come on, because I'll come on with a mask on. And be like, I thought this lady was cool, and now she's talking about multiple genders and like,
and they're like, where?
Yeah.
You're like, no, wait, I promise it's not the real me. I'm just
it's not the real me.
Like, but
yeah,
inspire
it's fun.
Some
it's
humor.
Like an outlet. Yeah.
I have to say, I really love the character Chaz. Is that what it was?
That's
Chaz.
Funny. People love or hate Chaz.
I
like Chaz too.
I don't know how you did that. If it was like, it must have been a filter where you.
Yeah, it's a filter.
Oh my, is it also a voice filter?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh,
I talk like my brother. So my brother's on the very left leaning and he's kind of jerky. And so it's actually kind of secretly based on him.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Not so secret anymore.
Yeah, not so secret anymore. And they all know. They know.
Right. So speaking of, I guess like I have a handful of questions, if that's all right, to dive into that. I'm pretty excited to just like hear your point of view. And what, I guess to start off, what kind of initially inspired you to start speaking out? Were you already like a voice online at the time back in 2020 or 2021? No. Okay.
Well, I actually started speaking up in 2020, but I didn't even have Facebook. I didn't have Facebook for 4 years. I just remember every time I went on Facebook, I felt depressed. I don't know what it was about social media for me. It would depress me. So I didn't have it for 4 years. I didn't have Instagram. I mean, I had maybe posted a few things on Instagram, but I wasn't on social media at all. Mm-hmm, and then we had the schools, because I'm a former public school teacher of 15 years for your audience to know. And I taught in California. And we had major lockdowns in California.
Yeah.
And so in mid-March, we are teaching our students, and I teach 9th and 10th graders. Mm-hmm. And I teach the English learners, and I actually just started a partnership with the elementary school in the area. And we were going over there, and I was having my English learners read to the kindergartners and the first graders.
Oh, wow.
We went once a week, and we did this beautiful, like, we could stay there for 2 hours, and they'd read with the kids. Mm-hmm. And it was like, they were so excited about it. And I had partnered them with their kids that they're reading with, and they would go and help the teacher. And we were like having the peak. It was probably like the peak experience of my career, because I had never done that before. Wow. And to be able to bring my English learners who've been learning English all week and then have them teach these little kids that just love them, and they were loving it. We got to go out of the classroom because we walked out down to the elementary school, and just to organize that all was a lot of work too, like to contact the school and contact the teachers. And then, so we're all having like this amazing year. I'm having an amazing year teaching. And I start hearing this rumor that they're going to shut down the schools.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay, in my district, we had a gas leak and we didn't shut down. Like, we were, you know, we had our toilets. Yeah, we had our toilets stop working, and they brought in porta potties. And this was when I was teaching middle school, same district. So we were all of us, the teachers and the students, all had to share these same porta potties for like a week. Mm-hmm. So they didn't shut down the school, you know? And so the fact that they were rumoring that they were going to shut down the school was already really weird. And, and we, I've dealt with other, like we had SARS. I don't know if you remember Zika. That was, that was kind of a thing, but we never shut down anything. Whenever we have an infectious disease come to this country, that's mysterious. Because we have thousands of them, right?
Right.
We don't just overreact like this.
Right.
And especially since we found out really quickly with COVID that it wasn't affecting children. SARS actually infected children. So I'm telling my students, they weren't communicating with our students that the schools were about to shut down. And I'm telling them, you guys, I think they're going to do it. Because what they started doing is copycatting everyone else. So if another district shut down, then we have to do it.
Right.
And parents started freaking out and teachers started freaking out. Like, my life is in danger if I have to stay, you know? Mm-hmm. So they shut down and they told the students it was me 2 weeks to slow the spread. Right, and they actually believed that. The kids actually believed that. And I felt so, you know, and
everybody
all did a little bit. I mean, it was just so, and that first couple of weeks we shut down because my husband's also a teacher. He was really into it. He was like, yay, I get to sleep in. Because all they had
vacation.
Post an assignment online. That's all we had to do was post an assignment online for those first 2 weeks. And I, on the other hand, was like crying because I'm like, this is so weird. This is not normal what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I started posting. I started saying like, this is unprecedented. They're doing this on purpose. And I got a lot of hate. And because I only have like 200 friends on Facebook and most of them are very much into all of that stuff because I'm in California. Right. But I just knew I had to speak up about this for our nation's children. And then we stayed shut down until, and I keep telling my students, they keep thinking they're going to come back. And I keep telling them, no, maybe, maybe in the next week, maybe the next week. So they're stringing them along.
Right.
You know, and they didn't even know if they were going to come back. They thought they were going to come back before the end of the school year. And then it turns out, no, you guys are not coming back. They also told them that their grades don't count. And then we had Black Lives Matter, the George Floyd incident.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we're seeing thousands of people out on the streets, your lungs and be together in these huge giant crowds because that's more important. And I was just like, what is going on? And then for that's when I really like turned up the notch and I started, because there was a time when, especially when the George Floyd stuff first came out, when it was only, Black people that could speak up about it. Because you could literally lose your job. Like that first 3 weeks after George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter stuff, there was a few like really brave people on the right that was like BLM, you know, like, and they would get a ton of hate, right? Now I think more of us are like, don't like that organization where we can be. Yeah. But back then you could get fired. There's people getting fired for saying anything negative about Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And so there was this moment. And then also a lot of people were starting, like a lot of Christians and a lot of people on the right were starting to kind of be like, oh yeah, maybe we were wrong. Maybe this was bad and maybe we should unite with this. And I said, no. And that's why I started really posting like, this is not what we want for America. This is only gonna hurt Black America. This is only gonna cause more damage. And now we've seen the fruits of it. But that was a really crazy time, when I first started posting. And the rest is history, you know. I ended up having to quit my tenured teaching position. Mm-hmm. Because I knew that if I stayed outspoken like this, that I would no longer be protected. I actually had leftists calling my district trying to get me fired. Luckily, I had tenure and I had a great principal that was protecting me. Mm-hmm. But I think he was a libertarian. But it was but it was a scary time. It was a very scary time. And now I've decided to open up my own school because I can't get a job in a public school anymore.
Yeah.
Like I've done way too much stuff online. And I'm way too political to be hired, you know?
Yeah, totally. And maybe why would you want to be in that system anymore too?
Yeah. I was in there. I actually fundamentally don't. I think it's not the best place for children. It's very institutional. It's awful. Yes. Like, I've seen recess get cut down more and more since from the beginning of when I started my career. I taught elementary to the end, and it's like now these kids only get a half hour outside. I remember when I was in high school, lunch was 50 minutes at least. You know, we got a good hour break, and then we had a nice 20-minute break in the morning. At my high school, no break in the morning, just a half-hour lunch, 5 minutes between classes. That's it. And it's just so institutional. These kids are going from class to class. And I fundamentally disagree with these way these public schools are set up, but it doesn't mean I can't do good there because I care so much about our nation's kids.
Of course, and of course.
I did create a haven in my classroom that was a break from all of that.
Yeah.
But it's but now the way the school is, they're run now, especially in blue states. If I had stayed in California, there's no way. And I also couldn't wear a mask. They wanted us to come back in masks. And for me personally, there's two reasons. One, I think they're totally ineffective.
Agreed.
You know, and I think that they take away a lot of our communication. I'm teaching English learners. I'd rather teach a kid online and have them see my full face than have them see me like this, you know?
Right.
So if when you're teaching English, there's so much that goes into it. You're learning like, and then also for me personally, and this is something that I think is so evil, is people's different cases that they have. I survived a sexual assault where my breathing was restricted. I don't like feeling like I can't breathe.
Yeah.
So to force me to wear a mask that just makes me feel very uncomfortable, like I can't breathe, that is very, they don't take into consideration any of these cases of people. Like, you either have to wear the mask or don't wear the mask. And the way I was able to survive with traveling is I wore a mesh mask because they won't let you on a flight. They will kick you off a flight. Now it's not like that, thank God. But like, they wouldn't let you on a flight. So anyways, it's been a crazy, crazy time. And this world is insane.
It really is. And that was definitely one of the extreme things that stood out for me in the early days was the intense masking and just like create such a submission for people and a lack of facial connection too. You're talking about, I'd rather see, you know, these faces online and it's so bizarre. I still have such a hard time recognizing people when their faces are covered. And I was able to be, you know, for the most part, I never put a mask on. I had to put a mask on in a hospital a couple of times to visit a family member. And that was like the only time in the last 2.5 years. But to just go back to what you were saying, how they do not even count for anyone that has a difficulty, that might have, I have like a little bit of a hearing issue, and I actually confirm via lips when I hear.
Wow, I've never thought about that. All the people that read lips.
Yeah, I literally I have to confirm if there's any other noise happening. I have to like confirm with people's lips. And that was something I learned in the beginning of 2020. I knew I had weird hearing because I had a ruptured eardrum incident long time ago. But anyway, that definitely has impacted so many people. And there was absolutely no room for any of that. It was like the local health food store near here was so hardcore. And then they started double masking, requiring a double mask. And I just remember hearing this story about a friend who's like a local yoga teacher who he had complied. He had put the mask on, you know, he was whatever, trying to just not make a fuss and make a big scene. And he just took it off and threw it down on the ground when they asked him to put a second mask on. And I was like, see, that should get everybody like really riled up here.
Yeah.
But okay, so I have a question for you.
Sure.
I know that you deal, and it was a really interesting experience to start being vocal in early 2020. And like yourself, I was also pretty vocal right away. I was like, do you guys not see the trail of money that's happening here? And I was trying to point that out to people online. And they instantly, it was like an instant experience of serious canceling and trolls just like in droves every single day. I mean, I wake up to the most hateful things I've ever seen or an experience. And there was a short time where I felt like I don't actually feel safe going anywhere in public for this time. I'm curious because your voice is really like it. You don't seem you know, shy from that or scared to speak up, even though I'm sure we have our moments. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of conquer that with people sending hate your way or, you know, the online yeah. troll energy, basically? I'm curious.
I have to thank the trolls. Mm-hmm. They, first of all, you know, I used to struggle a lot with my own self-worth. I think a lot of women do that, and we just have hang-ups about ourselves, and we have these weird, you know, I don't say this right, or, you know, we're comparing ourselves to other people, and, or constantly. I never, you know, I'm kind of like this harsh person. I'm not like super warm and fuzzy. You know, I can be warm and fuzzy mm-hmm. with my pets, but like, I'm not like a big, like,
me too.
Warm and fuzzy person. Yeah, exactly. And so I always kind of felt like I didn't belong, and all this mm-hmm. like weird stuff about myself. I had a lot of like, you know, self-absorbed, self-hate, self-weirdness, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when you receive a massive amount of hate about everything you say, about everything you do, I mean, from not even just from random trolls. I mean, this is talking about friends and family that I thought I knew my whole life. And I thought we're going to, you know, we're good people, but they actually aren't when you show your true self. Mm-hmm. I have never felt more comfortable in who I am now. Like, I feel yes. like I finally am comfortable being Kali and how God made me. Like, I just feel mm-hmm. so, like, it's kind of crazy, but it's like, once you get called every name on the book, and once you get, like, they say the most awful things to you, it makes you immune. At first, it was mm-hmm. a little bit shocking, but now it's just like, I feel so, the main thing that does depress me, though, is that there's so many people like that. I don't think, some people are like, it's all bots. I'm like, no, it's not all bots, because everyone would be experiencing this if it was all bots, mm-hmm. you know, but it's, mm-hmm. there's a good amount of these people that are just genuine, especially on Instagram, because I can go on their profiles and obviously tell that they're real people, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's just really sad to me that there's that many people that want to treat someone who's, I'm a teacher. I've been teaching kids for 15 years. I dedicated my life to this nation's kids. I am not personally attacking anyone. I'm just attacking all of the craziness that comes with these policies, right? And mm-hmm. here they are coming and calling me like the worst things I've ever heard someone mm-hmm. call another person. But right. again, like I said, I just, it has strengthened me in a way that I didn't think was going to happen, because now I just don't care. I just don't yep. care. You know, yep. I'm just like, I'm gonna do my thing, and I feel good with who I am. And I just want to thank them for making me feel very empowered, because if they can be that nasty, I must be doing something right.
right. Yeah. Yeah. If they can come after us in that way. That is such a good point. And I feel similarly, like, I feel like I was made for these times, and maybe yep. you feel this way too. It's just mm-hmm. now I'm at the point in my life where I can recognize, oh, this is why I've never fit into a box. I yeah. like could not ever fit into these. Yeah. labels yeah. and boxes uh-huh. at all. Mm-hmm. And I always uh-huh. felt so outcasted in so many ways, and just yep. completely not able to fit into these roles or whatever. And now I just thank God for that, because yeah. that is why I feel like I'm on the right path. I'm completely on the right journey in all of the ways. And I've similarly never felt so like confident in I can be, yes, this is who I am, you know. Yeah. even my brashness, even my yeah. like totally. Over the top energy. Yeah. My friend yeah. was telling me this morning, she's like I think she's like 74 years old, and I apologize for being so enthusiastic about something, and she was like, honey, please stop, you should yeah. never apologize for enthusiasm. Yeah.
And I think the other thing is that, yeah, we get a lot of hate, but there's also so many good people I've met the last 2.5 years. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, finally I found my people, you know? Same. And all different yeah. walks of life, all different skin colors, all different types yep. of people. But we've been able to really, like, I think our values are the same. And I think that's so important. Like, we may have different tastes, but mm-hmm. our values are so, like, and we're seeing that the fundamental, beautiful parts of our country being attacked. You know, yes. and we're all coming together on this, because it is really scary what's happening right now. Yes. And right now, I really want to encourage anyone who's listening to this, what's happening with Title IX right now that mm-hmm. Biden is proposing. So Title IX was protected women's sports and women's right. funding women's sports. And it was a good thing at the first, you know, I mean, it was good to make sure that their equality is not something bad. It's striving mm-hmm. for equality. Equity, on the other hand, that's something that's a whole other story. But and now it was protecting just sex, so male and female. Now he wants to add gender identity to it. And so what that means is that we are no longer, all of the states that have passed laws that are like, we're not going to affirm all of this craziness and force, we'll no longer have rights with that anymore. Wow. Because once that Title IX change happens, the schools are legally required to let the boys play in girls' sports, and the boys go into girls' bathrooms, and the girls go into, you know, boy with the boys' cabin and all of that stuff. And I know middle school and high school kids, and they already are super wild. They just are, mm-hmm. especially with mm-hmm. what's being force-fed on them right now.
Right.
This is going to make them more wild, and that's not going to help them. You know, the younger you start getting into all that kind of crazy stuff and getting super sexual and all that, the harder it is to commit to a real marriage and to have that a healthy sexual life,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're trying to encourage. They're encouraging these kids to just be super hypersexual, and then adding it onto it this non-binary trans kids, the non-binary girl can sleep in the which with the boys or with the girls, whatever they choose, you know. On overnight trips, there already is enough of the stuff that goes on overnight trips. We don't need to have the sexes in the same room, you know.
Wow, so I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it. I mean, I've been paying attention because of women's sports, basically, and seeing insane stories. I saw an interview with a fighter who basically her friend had her skull bashed in by a trans athlete. And like, this is not safe. It's just not safe. And you can see with certain sports how people are meddling and winning certain things that are like, you know, they were in their 400th place or something in their male body form, and suddenly they're winning first place in a trans body form, and it's just completely unsafe. But not to mention the school age stuff. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
And the other thing to think about is these trans kids, especially the boys that are competing in girls with and transitioning. There's a psychology going on there, because they want to be a girl, and there's, you know, women, we're already petty and jealous of each other. Imagine how jealous a trans man is of a real, or trans woman is of a real woman, you know? And there's an anger there almost that I see, like, I'm going to be the best woman because I want to just dominate these other women. It's a very, like, the fact that we are affirming this and allowing it to happen, and especially all these leftists that that claim to be feminists, but they're okay with this, is so crazy to me. And I just want to remind everyone that this didn't even happen 10 years ago. We weren't even talking about this 10 years ago.
I know, right?
And the fact that all of a sudden it's like in our faces, it's like, what is going on? And then we all have to just accept it. When 10 years ago, was there a bunch of kids like committing suicide because they couldn't be trans? No. You know, like that was... I mean, there's always going to be depressed teenagers. That's just going to happen. You know, there's always going to be some reason why a teenager is depressed. There's always going to be a higher rate in teen suicides than people in their 20s because they're just so emotionally unstable. Mm-hmm. But this idea that we have to somehow save these kids by affirming their genders when we're seeing the fruits of it, it's just making them more miserable, is really just crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy. I saw the reel from earlier today that you shared of somebody that is detransitioning, and that just like, I broke down. I had to like reapply makeup earlier because of that video. And I've seen countless ones that are cases similar to that, where none of this is reversible. And
that's what these kids should be shown in school. Cause right now they're affirming gender. And you know, when you're getting sex ed, I remember sex ed in 10th grade, they show kids like this is what happens. You could get this sexual STD or whatever. And they scare you about STDs. Right. And you get scared about these things and you kind of like, okay, maybe never mind, I won't do that. You know, that's what they should be doing with these kids that are going into all of that stuff, is is have them watch these stories of these kids that are like, why did I do this? I regret it. I was not in a good place. I needed more therapy. It's just, you're too young. And yeah. instead they're not, they're suppressing those stories.
Yeah.
And steamrolling them towards affirming this new gender identity that means so much more than just dressing in a dress. You know, right. I think we all remember what trans were like in the 90s. I remember going to the thrift stores. I loved going to thrift stores when I was like a teenager. And there was always like the dude dressed like a lady, right? A dude dressed like a lady. And that's what it was. But this is so much more now. This is giving kids hormones. This didn't even happen 10 years ago. They weren't giving kids gender affirming hormones at 8 years old to stop them from having puberty. And, insane. You know, it means crazy surgeries. All of the trans surgeries to change a male anatomy into a female or a female into a male, those are all fairly new surgeries. Right. You know, but they weren't doing those. If you go onto the website, and I actually want to make a video about this, and it's really sick, but it goes into the actual process of what they're doing down there to change it, ooh. You know? And it's like so incredibly barbaric.
Right.
You know, and man. It's like, why can't we teach these kids just to love their body? And this is one thing, like some of my students are just very creative. They have more feminine energy. Does that mean they're a girl? Does that mean that they are gay? No, it just means that they're just a more creative boy. They have like, you know, this whole idea that back in the like 1800s and 1900s, like the men that were artists, they were men that were into fashion. The men that were like, you know, those kind of more flamboyant men, they were like the princes of the time, you know, like Prince now. He was like he was into girls, but he was very like, but now if you're like that, you're automatically either you're trans or you're maybe secretly a girl, you know, and the way that they're labeling these kids and then also the girls that are tomboys.
Yeah.
You know, there's, and now there it's like, oh, that maybe that means you're a boy when really you're just a girl that's just more into dude things. Like, why are we trying to push this on our children that they need to start denying their gender and going through all of this crazy stuff when they should just learn how to love their bodies? And maybe they're a little different than their classmates. That doesn't mean they need to go through all of these crazy things to force others to see them as a different gender when in reality, it's very rare that someone actually turns out looking like the other gender. You know, I've probably seen maybe one or two trans people that really like, okay, you actually look like that. The other ones, it's like, there's something off. Even though they do everything, right? You can still tell there's something off. Like, you've done everything you can to look like a woman and you still don't look like a woman. Sorry, you don't, you know?
Right,
like,
yeah. Well, it's a wild industry. I've gone down a few deep dives of the whole like pharmaceutical side and medical side of that industry is pretty messed up, and they are creating you know, medical and pharmaceutical dependent patients for life by this kind of pushing this agenda on people. I don't know about you, but so there's all different theories on like, when do our brains stop developing, right? Like, what is the age where we actually have like a fully developed adult brain? I've heard 25, I've heard 32. I feel like I resonate with 32 personally. Yeah. I'm like, okay, that actually, yep.
I'm sure it's a different rate for everyone. You know, we all develop at different rates. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so I'm curious, like as a teacher of children and having been around children so much in your life, what do you feel like the impact of kind of pushing this sort of gender dysphoric message on children this young is doing to this generation?
Well, for one, they're all getting, because it's getting so prevalent, it's increased by 4,000%. And it used to be more boys identifying as girls. It was like, there was more men that wanted to be trans than there was women that want to be men. And now it's actually completely the opposite. Under 30, it's like way more girls are wanting to be boys, because I think girls struggle more especially in their teen years, with self-hate and like, we have so much pressure to look a certain way. And I think we just decide to give up and like, might as well just dress like a dude, you know, like,
right.
But what it is doing is it's creating, they have a lot of, if they don't go that route, they have a peer that's going that route. Mm-hmm. And so what's happening is now when we're speaking against this stuff, they're like, but that's my friend, you know? And they're like, but I love my friend. And I get that. You know, yeah. They love their friends.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have your, I think a lot of parents are going to deal with that, where maybe not necessarily their child is in that community, but they have friends in that community because it's becoming so popular. It's grown yeah. by a lot.
Yeah.
And so that's the way it's impacting them is it's creating a generation that, because politics has become so into identities,
mm-hmm.
it's creating a generation that thinks the right is bigoted because they're not accepting all of this, but let's go to the side that is accepting because my friend, you know, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I have a friend that now is, and I've seen that a lot with these young people. They don't like the right because their friends are trans or lesbian or gay or bisexual. And they think that the right is going to reject them. And they think the right is trying to hurt them. Mm-hmm. And so they go towards left because they're actually, they don't think very deep, you know?
Yeah.
They think like, this is, you guys want to hate my friend. And so therefore I'm going to be on the left because the left celebrates that.
Yeah.
All the
yeah.
time. Like yeah. all the time. Pride month has turned into 2 months. The rainbow flag has turned into a flag with like, you know, even more rainbows on it than we originally remember.
Or like all these other colors happening
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
And like this, just all, yeah. Yeah.
And so they're looking for a place. They're looking to belong. And so I think that's one of the main impacts that's happening on our children. I think we're going to see it a lot more with parents raising their kids now. All their kids mm-hmm. are going to have a friend that's like that. And it's going to be a hard conversation mm-hmm. for parents to have with their child that you can still love your friend, but you don't have to necessarily. And I think that's all something we need to be reminded of. We still love these people. We still love them, you know, but it doesn't mean we have to accept their self-harm.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean we have to affirm their self-harm, you mm-hmm. know, and that's where we have to draw that fine line. And it's difficult, but we have to teach our children how to do that too, because yeah. they're going to see more of their peers doing this. I mean, right. I just had a kindergarten teacher contact me. She does dual language kindergarten where they learn English and Spanish. Mm-hmm. And she's got two kids in her class, two boys that are identifying as girls. And so now she has to talk. Yeah. And so now she has to, this is in Oakland.
Kindergarten.
Yeah. This is in Oakland. And of course, these are woke parents that want their kids to learn Spanish. So I'm guessing they're like, you know, woke parents in Oakland that want their kids to learn Spanish.
Whoa.
And they want the teacher to refer to the little boy in all Spanish. You know how Spanish language is really gendered?
Yeah. Well, so now the many, many languages are.
Yeah. Now the teacher has to change all of the words to be chica, like chica instead of chico, you know?
Oh my gosh.
And what kind of pressure is that for teachers, you know?
That is just weird. Wow. Yeah. Whoa. Oh my goodness. So speaking of the school system, I absolutely love what you're creating and I'm so excited about it. I don't know if you know this. I am a grown up homeschooled kid.
Oh, nice.
And so I've been homeschooling my kids since uh-huh. they're young. And so yeah. I didn't have to deal with schools being shut down or mm-hmm. they were already homeschooled, right? They just suddenly weren't allowed anywhere to go in anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I see somebody that's doing like innovative, creative things, like I took online classes when I was a teenager, you know, which it was a while ago. And so I love that what you're creating. And so I want to dive into that. And I'm just also being mindful that my Instagram will shut off at an hour. I don't know if everybody's does this,
okay,
but it does that. And so I definitely want to hear about Think Exodus because this is, the homeschooling topic comes up a lot on my channel. And a lot of people feel like them or they don't even know where to start and they don't even know like what the resources are. So first off, I'm curious what made you decide to do this?
Man, it's something my husband's been wanting to do because he's also a teacher. Uh-huh. But I was raised in a poor family and I did not have faith in myself for one. Like again, self-worth, all this weird mm-hmm. crazy stuff that we go through. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that I was going to be able to recruit kids to come to it. And I didn't think I was going to just be able to own my own business and all of this. So mm-hmm. we kind of delayed doing it. And then everything happened where I quit my tenure job, mm-hmm. moved to Florida.
Yeah.
And nice. My husband, we just decided, you know what, let's just do this. Let's take this leap. And he's very competent. He's very confident. And he's like, it's going to be successful, which I'm so glad we got matched with him. And yeah. I just knew, for one, that I probably would have a really hard time getting a job at a public school. And two, mm-hmm. I had a friend, because I tutored her son for 5 years and I helped him to read. And she told me, Kali, you do not belong in the classroom with 30 kids anymore. He's like, she's like, you need to be teaching the nation's kids. She's like, you're a great teacher in the classroom. You did a great job. Chills. His name is Riley. And she just is such a good friend of mine. You did a great job with him. And mm-hmm. you're a wonderful teacher. But you could be doing so much more. And it was so the conversation that I needed. Right mm-hmm. at the time that I needed. And so at that moment, I was like, I stopped applying because I was applying to jobs out here. And normally I could get a job like that. And I think what would happen is they'd be interested in me. They would interview me. And I wouldn't hear back from them. Because I'm sure
they were like looking on.
Yeah, and I would have interviews with these administrators, and they were wearing masks. And I was like, of course they're gonna go look me up. If they're wearing a mask in an interview, a Zoom interview, obviously they're not on the side of my side. You know,
like, right.
And so in Florida, no less, because Florida doesn't require masks. So if they're in a mask, they're deep in. I call them branch.
They might not come back. From that.
Yeah, exactly. They're branch COVIDians. They're in a cult. They are in a cult.
So
we decided to launch this school, and everything mm-hmm. came into place. We actually cashed out our California retirement to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. trust California retirement anyways. So and probably so we cashed out our California retirement. We were able to do a fully accredited online K-12 school. So for parents, we have two programs. For parents who want to pull their kids from public school, they don't mm-hmm. want to do any of the teaching. They just mm-hmm. want a full program for their kids. They can sign them up to our school, and we will take care of all of the teaching, and it's fully accredited. They can graduate with everything. Then we also have another program for parents that are like you, that maybe are taking on more of the homeschool teaching duties, mm-hmm. but you just want some added lessons mm-hmm. that are, you know, just give yourself a break, and you know that they're really good. Like I just did a lesson on 3 rules of poverty. Like, if there's 3 rules you can follow that will basically guarantee that you won't have a life of poverty.
Wow.
And they learn about those 3 rules, and they have a little activity where they have to create a budget, but living on the poverty level.
It's
really hard, and how hard it is. And like, there's these, follow these 3 rules and you won't have to ever worry about that, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've been having kids turn in their assignments, and it's just giving me so much joy to see that it's working. We have a lesson on the American dream. We're posting lessons every week. So our supplemental program, we're posting lessons every week, and the kids can take them on demand. And mm-hmm. it's 5th through 12, our supplemental. So our full program is kindergarten through 12th grade, and our supplemental for parents that are already homeschooling is 5th through 12, which we think is a really important age, because sometimes kids need to have a little bit of, like, parents are really good at homeschooling, but there also needs to be sometimes a time for the parent and the kid to just be mother and son, you know. And it's like, here, you know, maybe Exodus can give you
things lessons. Are getting a little advanced.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a 5th grader, so I'm like, ooh, this is getting interesting.
Yeah. So we're adding lessons every week, and that's only $20 a month. We wanted to make it an accessible price for as many people as we could get into it. And we're building our library, and if you do sign up for that program, you have access to it, all the lessons, so they can go back and work through. And we're using Kajabi, which is a really great site for online lessons. Mm-hmm, and a lot of the times mm-hmm. the kids, so what happens is they'll log in, they'll get their lesson, and they take notes. We always have them take notes or do some sort of activity. And then mm-hmm. they have something they need to do offline. So it's not always them staring at a computer.
Nice.
And then they submit it, and I get to see the lesson, and I send them feedback. And it's just, they're doing so good. I'm so glad it's working. I was worried that it might not work, but it is. And I'd love seeing them do their lessons, and they're sending them in. And the lessons aren't too long. Wow. They're usually around 45 minutes, but then mm-hmm. they always have something they have to do offline that they need to turn in.
Right.
And lots of activities. And it's really focused on getting them ready to fight against all of the indoctrination that's happening in our country right now. So like I'm working on lessons right now called the North Korea Project, where they're learning all about North Korea and communism and why that's bad. Because they're going to have friends. Oh, my doggy just fell over. They're going to have friends. They're going to have friends that are going to get into communism because maybe their friends are in public school or socialism. And they're going to be able to be the ones to convince their friends, hey, this is why it's stupid. Let me tell you. Because I learned all of this stuff in Exodus Institute. So that's the point of that. Yeah.
That's really amazing. About
it. Yeah. And people can find information about it at thinkexodus.org. And we're always open for enrollment because we're online. So...
Totally. Oh, so somebody could just decide in the middle of the year that they want to pull their kid from school or the kid's really asking for it or something.
And that's the thing. They can do that. If your child is miserable in school, just pull them. What's the point, you know?
Right.
And there's a lot, I know that there's difficulties with childcare, but that's when you partner up with a friend. Maybe you have a friend that's homeschooling their kids. And especially if you have them enrolled in Exodus, the kid can just go to the house and work on their Exodus stuff. Maybe there's an old lady in the neighborhood that you could pay. Because now you don't need to have someone who could actually teach the kids. You just need to make sure you have someone who can babysit the kids, you know?
Yep.
If you can't. Around. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I know when I was growing up, there was a decent sized community of homeschooling families around where I was. And people got really creative with the childcare thing. It was like, if you're determined enough, you can rotate. We had that going for a few years where... You know, there'd be homeschool days at different houses, 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And, as, you know, keeping that, I would always say, like, keep the group small enough to it doesn't, so it doesn't overwhelm the parents' day it is, you know?
Yeah.
But that's so incredible to hear. You kind of covered one of my other questions was, how are you doing things differently with your lessons in your program versus what they're teaching in school systems?
That's what's unique about our school. I have yet to see another school that's undoing the indoctrination.
Right.
Like, I've yet to see that's teaching kids how to counter.
This is it.
They need to know how to counter this stuff because they are our future. And right now the left is radicalizing their own children.
Yep.
And so we need to make sure that we have our kids that are ready to stand up and be like, no, this isn't right. This is, and they're strong in it, you know? Because I've had some messages from parents where they're like, I so regret sending my child to college because they came back and they got all that crazy indoctrination in college. And most of our colleges are very left-leaning. So if we get our kids ready before and they know how to stand up to this stuff, we're just on such a better playing field than when they don't know how bad this stuff is because they really market it as the solution, you know?
Right.
They really market it as something beautiful. You know, and their friends are really into it. Their classmates are really into it. And we have to make sure that we're getting them ready to stand up against it. So like I have a lesson on the American dream. Mm-hmm. The left is trying to tell black and brown kids or that it's only for white kids or that it's dead. It absolutely isn't, you know, like, and we go in, I go into all the statistics. I go into, you know, just what you can, like, I go into success stories of immigrants that came here because this country allows so much opportunity. And I also go into how other countries, there are certain countries where you couldn't even have the American dream because like in India, like, let's say you want a job, it's really hard there because they still have a lot of caste system stuff there. You know, even though it's technically illegal to not, to keep someone in their caste, there's still a lot of that tradition in their society. And it's really hard to move up, you know? Yeah. So that's not even an option for a lot of people in India. And North Korea, it's not even an option to own your own home because you can't have private property.
Yeah.
And, or China, it's not an option to have as many kids as you want because for several years they had a one-child policy. You know, that's over now. But, you know, so there's things that they don't know. Like you guys realize that the American dream is because it's America. Like a lot of these opportunities don't exist in other countries. So make sure you take it. So we go into all of those things in our lessons. And I think kids are really getting it, which I really love.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just on a call earlier today with a group from the public square, which I work with. And somebody said, like, she was saying how great it is that we can still own a business. We can still decide we're going to do this project. Like you decided, I'm going to do this project. I'm going to open a business. I'm going to be a business owner.
Yes.
And how beautiful that is of like, we have the freedom to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I have another question. And basically, well, I love that, like, your energy seems very get shit done, like, take action, stop complaining kind of energy.
Yeah.
And I find often a lot of the people that complain about stuff, they're like, they're, you know, have that troll energy, or they're kind of like the negative, you know, I sometimes call it a Debbie Downer energy or negative Nancy. It's my favorite one. Mm-hmm. And they don't seem like the people that are doing anything, right? Mm-hmm. They're just completely just like, I'm going to point out all the bad things you're doing, you know, and just blame it all on you basically, or whatever, you know, blame it on whoever. They play the blame game. What kind of motivates you to just channel that and turn that into, I'm going to take action? You know, and I know that all these crazy wild things are happening out in the world right now, and I'm not going to let that get me down.
Well, we need to not be victims. Mm. We talk about, you know, the left pushing victim mindset on these children, you know, especially our Black and brown kids.
Yeah.
Well, we need to make sure we're not doing that with the left.
Yeah.
We need to make sure we're not just, oh, you guys are going to do this, and oh, you guys are doing that, and oh, now we're having this, and oh, this city is gone, and oh, now they're rioting over here. You know, we're just now, and it every day there is something new in clown world. I mean, it really is. Like, it's very entertaining, highly entertaining. Yeah. Like, we're kind of like, it's kind of like the most entertaining stuff going on right now, because the other stuff is not as entertaining anymore, like movies and music, and we've kind of stagnated in that area. So the left is pretty entertaining, but at the same time, like, I think it also just comes with just my own, I've always been someone that if there's a problem with me personally, or where I'm struggling with something, or something is hard, I always want to look for solutions, because I don't want it to stay. I don't like being uncomfortable. I don't like seeing all these kids at drag queen shows. I don't like seeing all these TikTok videos of girls that have cut their breasts off, you know. Oh. Don't want to keep seeing this stuff, you know. And so I feel like, okay, what can we do to actually change this? We gotta take back our kids. Because they've made leftism the cool side. And I remember it, because I used to be on the left. I remember that was the cool side, the right.
Me too.
And that's part of their main marketing is not necessarily how great their policies are. It's how they've demonized the right so much. Why would you want to be on the side of white supremacist, Nazi racists who hate LGBTQ and, you know, are just all these sterile, I mean, that's how they think of us, in a cult, right? And so we have to make sure, like, I know that once the kids see the truth, and that's the part of the reason why they censor us so much. Mm-hmm. Once the kids see the truth, a lot of them are going to change their minds, because they're so, children change, you know, they'll be like, oh, I didn't know that was, you know, that the Democrats actually are the party of systemic racism historically and currently. But they suppress the truth on these kids. And that's part of the reason why I'm like, okay, we just need to get the truth out. We need to get the truth out to young people, and they will wake up. Here's another great thing about young people. They rebel. Right now, the left is becoming, they are the side of cool, but they're now being so obnoxious. They're starting to force it on these kids. They're going to start rebelling. Once they see that the left is super like the establishment, which is what's happening right now, like Biden is the worst. You know, Biden is the worst. I think these kids are starting to be like, okay, this isn't that cool. Why is it cool? Why is Biden cool? Like, he's the most uncool president I've ever seen in my life, you know? Like, there's nothing cool about him. Like, Clinton, at least he played the saxophone. You know, Obama, he even had his whole swag or whatever. And Trump, I mean, Trump was like, he was funny as all get out, you know? And then we have this Biden guy who's like fumbling. And he's like, the young people just being like, there's nothing cool about this guy. Right. And they're seeing the fruits of everything that's been happening those last 2 years, our year and a half. And I think they're starting to wake up and rebel against it. So that's good. And I want to be there to help start the rebellion of, hey, we're not going to let this country continue in this direction. Let's turn it around. And let's get people to start coming with us on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one thing. You're right. It's like, I was so surprised that more young people weren't rebelling back in 2020. Of the, you know, I'm not going to put this thing on my face, and you can't like force me to do these things or make me stay locked in my room and all this stuff.
Well, you know what they did with the young people? They told them it was going to kill older people.
I know.
And that's,
I know, brainwashed.
And the thing is that that's actually shows that they have good hearts, especially Gen Z. I really love teaching Gen Z. They're so different than millennials. Millennials were very hard-hearted and stubborn. I'm a millennial. We're very hard-hearted and stubborn. We are into our own thing. We're kind of hard to change. We kind of have to have like a Jesus moment, you know? We have to be like banging in our head, like, oh, that's what. These Gen Z kids, they actually have really good little hearts. Like, and they see, they have a lot of hopelessness right now, and they want hope. So,
And so they were also told
they need to do this to protect others. And I think that's what really got them on board. But you were going to finish your thought. Go ahead.
Oh, just that, that's like where the hope is right now is this Gen Z, you know, generation of like, guys, you're being indoctrinated and brainwashed. And, I feel really thankful. I know a lot of young people that are really awake and that are, you know, a range of different ages. And they're strong people. They're strong. Yeah.
I'm seeing that too. And they're immune. That's the other thing. When I was that age, I wasn't sure. I didn't really know what side. I didn't really know what I believed. I didn't know what was truth, what was false. These kids are getting it real quick, real early. So they're going to
so
be like,
contrasting.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not going to go back. They're not going to go back to that side because they've seen the fruits of it like really hard. Yeah. And they're like, oh, this means I have to stay home or I have to be in school in a mask all day or I have to go and root and riot for a drug addict, you know, like I'm just, they're seeing the fruits of it and they're not going to go back. And so these young people that are rising out of this, that are totally brainwashed are amazing.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're about to run out of time and I just want to encourage everyone to go to your new homeschooling resource website. It's thinkexodus.org, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And check out these programs because that is an incredible resource to everybody knows somebody homeschooling these days. It's like, it is not so out of the norm as when I was growing up. It is much more normal. Everybody's got a family member or a friend doing it. So share with your friends and let them know how easy this can be. And doesn't have to be so overwhelming. That's the comment I get a lot from parents that want to, but are hesitant or they're struggling and they don't know what to do. And I love that this enrichment program is so attainable and easy for people to just add into what they maybe are already doing. Any last little thing you want to say on that?
Just keep finding like-minded people and believe in yourself. Believe that you can do it, you know, and you are an example to your child. So when you take risks, you learn yourself. And this is something that I always tell parents. Learn alongside them. You may not feel like you're competent in a subject. Well, why not learn alongside them? It's you can grow in your, and that's an example to your
child.
That's
what I do.
Yeah. And you both grow at the same time. And I did that a lot as a teacher because of teacher training. I went to a leftist school and it didn't really teach me anything, you know? And so I was learning a lot alongside with my students. And I would say my teaching has blossomed who I am now in front of the camera and doing all of these interviews and traveling the country and stuff is because of my 15 years that I spent in the classroom with my students.
Right.
And that was like the best education I could ever give myself was to be a teacher. So just know that there's so many blessings in it for the parent as well. And also don't worry about being perfect. Like that child, just find that child's gifts, really develop them and make sure they know how to read. Like, because then they can start learning themselves, you know, as long as we get them literate, these kids can really, because all of our founding fathers were self-taught. They didn't even go to school. They were third grade was about as high as they went. And as long as you teach that child to be a lifelong learner, they could be, who even knows what they could do? Because we need more specialization. We need more kids that are really good at doing what they're gifted in instead of all of these like blobs that can read at a fifth grade level that are coming out of high school, you know, and can't change a light bulb, you know? So just learn alongside your child and take the risk. You'll be okay. Just do what's best for them.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here for tonight. This has been a total blast and hope to see more of this in the future. And thank you everybody for joining. You guys
thank
are
you
awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Yay.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Okay, friends, that is your episode for today. Thank you so much for stopping by and having a listen to the Camille Rose Off-Grid Show. I hope you enjoyed this interview. And stay tuned for more episodes coming out every week. Sometimes more than one a week. You just never know what you're going to get with me. If you want to support me, you can find my links right here linked in the podcast in my link tree. You can make a donation if you feel like it through Venmo or PayPal right in there. And also, I wanted to give a special shout out to this new company I've been working with. I am now the regional coordinator for the entire Northeast for Public Square, which is a freedom-aligned businesses directory and social platform as well, both an app and a website, so it is not dependent on any app stores, and it is just taking off. It has been such a fun experience to be connecting freedom-loving humans with freedom-loving businesses and really essentially creating a whole entire new parallel economy together. So it's a really exciting time. And if you want to add your business for free, you can do that with a link in my link tree as well. So I can't wait to see you on there and hear what you think about this interview. Thanks for stopping by today.